Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I'm not interested in paying a nickel. I'm not going to vote to pay a nickel to these attorneys. I think this information should be given to the judge, and extraordinary remedy should be sought. And maybe he doesn't change his ruling, but at least he will, I believe he would say, well, with this new information, the county absolutely was right to seek the return of this data on 20 citizens, including more than just Jeff Burgosh. But more importantly, because they do have a possessory interest, they made one. They created it, established it, and made it when Bart Siders unilaterally stole those files and gave them out unredacted.
Yeah, so as I've been saying all morning, Commissioner Jeff Burgosh commits a variety of factual mistakes here. I've talked to some people, and I think I have a pretty good grip on what happened here. And generally, what Jeff has been saying has been inaccurate or malicious or slanderous or shading of the truth in a way that makes him look better than he really is. My view, again, based on the people and the research that I have done, he says that he told Bart Siders to delete the file. Not true. He wouldn't be able to make him do anything because he doesn't work for the commissioner, but also IT doesn't delete files. You know, they don't delete things, and especially if it's a public record, as this clearly contained a lot of public record. IT doesn't also go and redact things either. And it's very routine. If somebody asks them for some information off of somebody's phone that they have, they give it out. You know, Jeff made claims about the program already being in possession of the county, and it wasn't. They had to go buy a program. They had to test it out, make sure that it worked right. They did a lot of work to make this all happen for his phone. If he, you know, he keeps blaming Bart, like Bart stole the text. Bart didn't steal the text. You know, James McCaslin didn't steal the text. The texts were just on the county server, and somebody asked for a record, and there's some discrepancy of how this all happened, okay? Jonathan Owen says he doesn't know how he got them. The testimony provided to the state attorney's office says that Jonathan asked for them. I don't know exactly what happened there. Like I said, I know Jonathan real well. I've never had him get anything wrong when he's been talking to me. But, you know, I don't think it really matters. Jeff keeps blaming the county for all of this, but or Jonathan Owens or Bart Siders, when really, if he hadn't commingled all of his phone records and his personal stuff and these, why did he have this stuff on these people in his possession in the first place? Why wasn't that deleted off of his phone if it was so sensitive, right? But again, the county's interest in this is nothing. If they're public records, they're public records, and if they're private Jeff Burgosh records, then they're private Jeff Burgosh records, and the county shouldn't be involved in this at all. Not only that, but Jeff, like, refused to abstain on the vote.
I'm not interested in abstaining from this vote. Thank you very much. I'm going to make a vote. I'm going to vote against it. I think this needs to be appealed. I think the judge needs to be given this new information. Now, I get it. The election happened. It's over. And you guys want to move forward. Well, if you want to vote to settle it, you'll do that over my no vote. That's all I have to say on it. Thank you.
Lumen May chimes in.
Quite frankly, you know, I pay from this instance that I had nothing to do with. I've spent thousands of dollars for other instances that staff people were there. I've spent thousands of dollars, even though I certainly don't believe that, you know, in any way that I was wrong. But and for sometimes, you know, you pay a nuisance to move on. I've never asked the county to pay any of my legal bills.
And by the way, he's actually paid now on the charge that Pam Childers sent him to pay for the crews that came and cleaned up his property. He's paid that. Okay, so Lumen has had to pay some things. And sometimes you pay to make them go away. Sometimes you can't fight it. Sometimes you really are in the wrong. It just, you know, the strident self-righteousness of a guy who has been very consistently misdescribing the facts is, I mean, it's baffling to me, but here he goes.
People on this dais have to understand this was not Jeff Burgosh's unilateral decision to go sue. I didn't run the case. The lawyers did. We didn't tell them what kind of case to file. They probably had an uphill battle. But it was a board decision based on bad actors in the county that created this problem. This was not Jeff Burgosh. That's why I would never abstain from this vote. That's ridiculous advice that I would never take. It's bad advice.
I honestly, based on what I know in this circumstance, I don't see anything that anybody in the county did wrong. They kept a public record and they gave out the public record apparently when asked. That's wrong how? There's no, by the way, one of the things in the letter says that they violated county policy. There's no such policy. There just isn't one. on how this stuff happens. If somebody asks you for a record, you satisfy it. And that was routine for the IT people to satisfy it. By the way, one thing we learned.
Jeff, I just have one question. And certainly I remember the conversation, and it's when the vote, when you pledged your discretionary, if we did not prevail.
Interesting. That must have been in a shade meeting because I don't remember that happening. He was promising that if they lost the lawsuit, he'd pay out of his discretionary money the legal fees. Well, that presupposes that it's a county expense to begin with, right? Your discretionary money is not your flash cash. But interesting that he was willing to bet his discretionary money that would go to hell. Because earlier in the night, there was a vote on some PTA funds, $2,500. Mike Kohler said, I can't vote for that because that's the money you promised to pay for this lawsuit. So I can't vote to deplete that fund. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents still, but we're working on traffic and pace on Woodbine. It's backed up all the way to Woodbine Baptist Church now. So plan about a 15-20 minute delay in that. Thank you for the tip on that. We're also seeing some delays in I-10 eastbound as you go through the construction at Highway 29 exit through that construction zone. Other than that, I'm John Pickens with Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. So back to the county commission meeting over the Burgosh text messages lawsuit in which $100,000 in legal fees was being sort of settlement arranged between the county attorneys and the three attorneys for Gannett, Alex Arduini and Jonathan Owens, Lumen May.
Well, I don't agree with a judge's decision, but my children may not agree with my decision, but it's the decision has been made. I mean, what recourse do we have if the judge has already made a decision?
And
I'm with supporting, but at some point, we're 0 for the season on lawsuits. And
We've been doing lately is lose lawsuits and capitulate and voluntarily dismiss them by one.
So I mean, if I have to, and I've had to do this, I've had to cut my losses and say, let's move on.
Yeah, and the people who keep making the decision to pursue the lawsuits maybe shouldn't be the ones deciding to not settle the lawsuits. Maybe learn a little bit of how you keep getting slapped on this stuff and stop wasting taxpayer money on these things.
If the judge has made a decision, I mean, is there an appeal process or is this done?
There is still time for this for the judge's order to be lawfully appealed. That is not my advice to this board.
And it wasn't her advice to go forward with the suit in the beginning. She was against this. She got bullied into it by Jeff Burgosh. And then in the public meeting, I mean, he's right. They did all vote for it. I mean, not all. Mike Kohler didn't vote for it. But the other four voted for it, right? Bender and May and Jeff Burgosh and Stephen Berry all voted to go forward with this without knowing who the target of the lawsuit was going to be. How did they figure out who it should be? Did they get, backseat lobbied by Jeff after the fact? Was it in a shade meeting? We don't really know yet because it's still kind of an open thing. But and then there was some conversation with Dennis Green, who's the attorney for Jonathan Owens, about all of this. We'll come back to that maybe later. But I did want you to hear Mike Kohler's comments on this because the goal here is to settle the case and be done with this slice of it, as Allison Rogers says.
The goal of this negotiation with regards to the sanctions order is to mitigate the damage and close this case out. That is the goal. That is the advice that you're getting. That is why this is in front of you. That's
okay. And the judge, these are not numbers that went to the judge. These are numbers that just came to your office.
The goal of this is for this not to have not to have to be decided by the judge. The goal of this is that the parties have gotten together, discussed it, come to grounds that we can all live with, resolve the issues in the case, and get it closed.
So, yeah, and that is the idea of paying the money, right?
Almost a year ago today.
This is Mike Kohler.
We came to this same dais, and we voted, everyone but me, because I didn't know the totality of who we were going after. I was under the assumption we were going after Mr. Owens. Didn't know that. We didn't say it on the dais.
And so in the beginning, it wasn't clear. They never specified targets of the lawsuit. It was a whoever's got it, go after them, was kind of the instruction. Like, your own personal legal jihadis were going to get out there and, beat the streets and figure out who's got it and then make them give it back, right?
I asked who we're going after, the madam attorney. She said it could be several people. I didn't know who that was. I didn't know it was Donald Trump. I didn't know if it was Gannett. I didn't know, honestly.
Trump.
Next thing I find out, we're going after the newspaper. We're going after Mr. Arduini. We had a meeting to potentially go after other people. I didn't serve my country for 33 years and to have something like this. It looks like something out of Cuba or Russia or China. It's crazy.
And that's what the judge said in not such a flourishing language. This is an effort to stifle public participation, public comment, particularly by the PNJ that was publishing selected excerpts of the text messages, you know, hoping that it would never get into the hands of the attorneys for the former medical director, Ramey Edler, and it did, and it cost the county $5 million, and it could have cost the county $25 million from the people that I have talked to. That's how this all came out in the first place, is because, you know, Jonathan had a copy of the text messages, and, you know, the Edler team got hold of it, and, you know, like, this whole thing, Jeff brags about how he's trying to make sure that there's a public record provided, but it's been suppressed, suppressed, suppressed from him. You know, and he always brags about all these public records requests that have come in and been satisfied. One of the annoying parts of my job is a lot of times I know things I can't say. You know, and I know things I can't say that I can't probably, and I know things I could say, but anyway, I'm just going to. Mike's right. This is the county trying to suppress its political enemies, right? The people that he's trying to get at, who Jeff Bergosh already took away a bunch of funding for them from the public, like the announcement of meetings. Remember all of that stuff? And put it in the Escambia Sun Press because he didn't like Andy Marlette's cartoon portrayals of him. Like, that's who he is. That vindictive, punitive, you know, ask the firefighters. That's what he does all the time. It's his way of operating. And he's not the only one, okay? Loads of bad politicians in Florida and in this area. But this whole thing is an effort to punish people and suppress public participation, as the judge has said. And that's why it's an anti-SLAPP violation, and that's why they're having to pay the attorney's fees, which is not normal. But because it's a suppression of the First Amendment, that's the issue here. And that's why when Mike says this is like something out of Cuba or China, he's not wrong. It's not that egregious, but it's that same impulse.
We had off-ramps, and the board chose not to take them multiple times. When we came back after we lost the Replevin case, we had an opportunity to take an off-ramp. Instead, we buckled down, and we wanted to fight. And then we got the ruling. Wasn't in our favor. The judge said three times in it, it was personal. The state attorney said it was personal. The clerk sent you a bill saying it's personal. That's what the judge and the state attorney and the clerk believe. I'm just saying what they said. Commissioner Bergosh, that's what they said.
Right. And never taking the off-ramp and always fighting instead of really thinking strategically and logically and rationally and not wanting to, you know, be punitive to the people that are embarrassing you or costing you politics, right? 437-1620, 437-1620. So they had a conversation about what to do now. And generally speaking, the conversation was from Lumen May and Stephen Berry, we're sorry this all happened to you. Poor Jeff, you're the big victim in this case. Which again, if you hadn't done county business on your personal phone, and then you hadn't Apple locked yourself out of the phone, and then you hadn't gone to the county to help you with this problem on your phone, like all the way through this process, and you hadn't allowed the county to have a copy of those records, which under one of the Florida statutes means that you no longer have any right to privacy over those records. There might be things that they shouldn't release to the public that should have been redacted, but it's not the job of the IT department to go through 60,000 lines of text and figure it out. Remember, there were all kinds of time that had to be done on that by the legal staff before the public version of the text messages came out. So just this expectation that Commissioner Bergosh says he had that it was going to be destroyed when he didn't say to destroy it, when it was, you know, he says it's, you know, not their right to retain the information, which it certainly is once it goes on county servers. It's a public record and they're not supposed to destroy it. Just every step of this, he wants to paint himself as the victim and somebody else as the evildoer, and I just see it the exact opposite way. And you have to decide. And look, you know, he's lost the election, so about who's right at this point may not matter as much, but if he hadn't wanted to spend an hour of the county time talking about this the other day and spinning out these yarns about things that I have investigated that I don't think to be correct, then I wouldn't be spending an hour of my time on the radio in the morning talking about it, but here we are. 725 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No accidents on the board right now, but we're still, if you're on Woodbine heading toward Highway 90, we've got some major congestion going on in that area. Maybe a 20, 25 minute delay there. So just pack your patience with that one or take an alternate route. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
DeFranco Gas is your local expert in all things gas. Local Tom DeFranco and Company has been installing and servicing your gas-powered business and home needs for over 38 years and is here to help make your gas life easier. Tankless water heaters, gas grills, gas fireplaces, gas heating systems, and DeFranco Gas gets your home and business storm ready with installation and servicing of whole generator systems. All things gas. DeFranco Gas, your local gas service provider. Member of the Better Business Bureau. DeFrancoGas.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
How do you handle stress, worry, or anxiety? If we're not careful, those times of anxiety can rip us apart from the inside. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us how to deal with worry. And he doesn't say just forget about it or that it'll go away by itself, nor does he say that we should run from it. Instead, Jesus tells us to take it one day at a time. He points out the nonsense of worrying about things we cannot control. Jesus reminds us that God cares for the birds of the air, and he says to you that you are more important to him than many sparrows. God calls us to throw the whole weight of our anxieties on him and allow his spirit to fill our hearts with perfect peace as he handles the many things that are out of our control. I encourage you, rest in Jesus today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ah, I see the two of you are getting along.
I love that scene. That scene is one of the best. Whatever kind of music you like. Ah, see you two are getting to know each other. James Earl Jones, the iconic one, the voice of, man, a generation or more, an EGOT. He's an EGOT winner, right? So that's just an impressive life. And the voice of Vader and Mustafa and Jeffrey Jaffar and all kinds of other roles as well. 729 on News Radio. And don't forget Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, right? In that. And also, what was the other one? Strategic Command, Strategic Air, something like that. I forget. Somebody texted me that earlier, too. Fair enough. Oh, somebody asked for an update on the TDC meeting yesterday. Give me time, man! Like, the county commission meeting took 4 hours to watch, 3 hours to cut audio, and here I've only got a couple hours on the radio to talk about it. I'll get to it all! You may have to wait a bit. They approved the $60 million sports complex to nowhere. I'm sorry. It's just not a good plan. It's just not a good plan. There's so much to get. Well, I'll get to it later. Later. David Wayne has got our headlines. David?
Well, wildfires causing evacuations in California and in Nevada. In California, the Line Fire in San Bernardino County has now burned about 25,000 acres. About 4,000 people have been evacuated from there. And the Davis Fire in Nevada has now reached about 5,000 acres and destroyed around a dozen structures.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, he was the voice of Gumby's father? Oh, all right. Oh, and I think I've been saying Mustafa. Have I been saying Mustafa? Oh, sorry, it's Mufasa. Why didn't you correct me? Okay, anyway. That's a good one we'll play for you later as well.
News. I'm CJ Papa, the one and only scheduled debate, and it's tonight from Philadelphia. Fox's Alexandria Hoff is there.
Team Trump has downplayed their preparation efforts, saying that unlike Harris, the former president has been constantly answering these unscripted questions while on the campaign trail, and he didn't let up this weekend, hosting a rally in Wisconsin. According to the campaign, preparing to debate the former president is something that no candidate could prepare for.
Fox's Peter Ducey with Team Harris.
Tonight is going to be kind of surreal for Vice President Harris because for the last couple days, she's been staring at a staffer dressed as Donald Trump. And tonight, she's going to meet him in person.
Fox News Radio will be providing live coverage and a simulcast of the ABC presidential debate beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, cloudy at 73 in Pensacola. Pensacola man arrested after allegedly shooting another man in the butt at a local Waffle House on Sunday. Now, this happened at the location on Brent Lane in Escambia County. A man had gone to the restaurant and ordered food, was waiting outside for his order when 24-year-old DeQuantarice Lucky allegedly asked the man for money. According to the police report, when the man declined, Lucky later pulled a gun and shot at him. The bullet ricocheted off of a concrete pole and hit him in the buttocks. The victim ran back inside of the store, said he'd been shot. That naturally caused a bit of a panic. Other customers ran into the bathroom in the back of the store to take shelter. One customer attempted to flee from the diner but was chased around and back inside by Lucky. Again, all this according to the report. The Lucky was then detained by Escambia County deputies near the Pensacola Christian Academy a short time later. He's now being held with no bond at the Escambia County Jail. A Fort Walton Beach couple facing child neglect charges after a young child was found running nude on the road in Okaloosa County. Deputies say they found the boy running across four lanes of traffic, nearly getting hit by vehicles. They were able to get him to safety. They recognized the boy, took him to a residence in Fort Walton Beach, where another child was then found running nude. Investigators say the home was in deplorable condition. 34-year-old Danielle and 32-year-old Jacob Robertson have both been charged with child neglect. The Department of Children and Families investigating in that case. Well, SpaceX finally getting the Polaris Dawn mission off the ground.
Dawn, ignition, go Falcon, go Polaris.
Copy, 1 Alpha.
And that mission blasting off overnight. It had been delayed several times due to helium leaks and bad weather. If everything goes as planned, the four civilian astronauts on their five-day journey will participate in the first-ever commercial spacewalk. Governor Ron DeSantis accusing those who collected signatures to place Amendment 4 on the ballot of acting illegally. Amendment 4 asks voters to legalize abortion up until fetal viability and beyond in some cases. The governor said yesterday one group that collected signatures to get the amendment on the ballot submitted dozens of petitions with the names of dead people on them. Some who signed the petition have reported getting visits at their homes from the state's election police unit. The governor said those officers are ensuring that anybody who broke the law is held accountable. He said the tolerance in the state of Florida for election-related fraud is zero. Forecasters expecting Tropical Storm Francine to strengthen up to a Category 2 hurricane before it makes landfall in Louisiana. Governor Jeff Landry issuing a state of emergency there in preparation for the storm. Texas coastal cities will also be affected. A tropical storm watch now in effect for most of the Texas coast. And it is 7:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens. 7:34 at News Radio 92.3. Look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. But on I-10, we're seeing some delays from Pine Forest all the way down to Highway 29 through that construction zone. You'll see some delays there. Also, if you're headed on Woodbine Road, headed toward Highway 90, it's relieved a little bit, but it's still backed up all the way to Woodbine Baptist Church. So you definitely want to plan a different route on that. That's going to take you a little while. Other than that, traffic's good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
60% chance of showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies, high near 81. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. On Wednesday, 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Rain chances increase as we go later into your day on Wednesday with a chance of severe weather as Francine makes landfall Wednesday morning. As we go into Wednesday afternoon, things are looking around 79 degrees with a low near 75. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 73 in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Among the new product announcements yesterday, Apple unveiled a thinner Apple Watch packed with more health features. The tech giant unveiled the Apple Watch Series 10, which has rounder corners and a larger, brighter display that comes in a 10% thinner design. It can also alert people about whether their breathing has stopped overnight so that they can speak with their doctor about the issue. The Apple Watch Series 10 starts at $399. China's exports rose more than expected in August, while imports mixed expectations. Exports grew by 8.7% in U.S. dollar terms last month from a year ago, while imports rose by just 0.5%. Bitcoin jumped Monday evening and topped $57,000 after Wall Street's rebound from its worst week of the year. Last week, Bitcoin tumbled 9% for its worst weekly performance since August of 2023. Futures are mixed. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 5. That's your money now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
FSU football fans, the big watch party is at Calvert's in the Heights. Calvert's is FSU football watch party central, featuring large screen TVs, clear sound, free parking, and of course, your FSU Seminoles. Join your friends and fans and cheer on the team with FSU drink specials, a full food menu, and the best water view around. Thinking football? Think Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway, online and on Facebook. Go Noles, go!
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority tonight at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax. Enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. Tonight, it's Class X. A high-energy, fun, classic rock cover band with two powerful lead vocalists playing the best from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and even some from today. It's Bands on the Beach tonight at 7 with Class X.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Now, I'm all for education, 100%. But also, the sheriff was the second person I wanted to mention. He called me and asked me to mention this. He absolutely wants to use some of the funds for cameras for safety issues. And We do see crime in a lot of areas. I don't know, some would say that's not really what the Children's Trust is for. He obviously thinks it is. I mean, I guess it's a decision for the board.
I too had a great conversation with the sheriff today, and certainly recognize his position. And you know, I've told the sheriff, you know, the number one priority is the public safety of the citizens.
So this was the county commission, and we haven't had a chance to talk yet about this. I probably won't do it today. But the Escambia Children's Trust money that was not really supposed to go to them in the first place unless the county waivers it, and now is getting clawed back to the CRA about $1,200,000 a year or so. Mike Kohler was the first voice there, Lumen May the second voice, saying that essentially the sheriff has asked for the Escambia Children's Trust money to be spent on public safety. And I very much disagree with their decision to keep this money in the CRA. I think they voted for a property tax increase, in essence, is what they did. But we'll get to that, like I said, a different day. What I wanted to hear from the sheriff, because he's here in studio with me, Sheriff Simmons, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
Good to have you. Were you asking specifically for the Escambia Children's Trust money to come back to them for the CRA for public safety cameras, or had you just asked for cameras and funding of $400,000 that you figured would come from CRA funds? Which, because they're making it seem like you were the architect of the clawback from the Escambia Children's Trust, is how I heard them.
Right. Yeah, no, it didn't matter to me where the money came from. We had conversations months ago about potentially putting cameras on Diego Circle, Ayers Boulevard. You remember our conversations.
Right.
After the three suspects, the killers, jumped off the bridge and that sort of thing. We had the one camera, and I mentioned then that I was going to have conversations with Commissioner Lumen May about potentially having more cameras in that area, because the camera was so helpful at that time. And we met at the Real Time Crime Center. We talked about the potential for putting more cameras there, and I asked them if there was some money available. Let's do that. Please fund those cameras. I didn't say it's got to come from here. It's not my position. The Board of County Commissioners right. decides where that money goes. But I will tell you, I think that protection of the children, protection of our communities, is a top priority. And if the money comes from you know, wherever it comes from, CRA, Children's Trust, wherever it comes from, I think that is a worthwhile request for the safety of the children. I mean, I can point immediately to children on that were on camera that are running from an area that where shots are fired. And if the Children's Trust money is not for the protection of children, in that scenario is maybe we should readdress the Children's Trust altogether.
Well, and so I guess what I would say is it's absolutely a justified expense for the county. It's a good thing to be doing. It's just that the Escambia Children's Trust money is for education. And that they shouldn't be saying yes or no to the cameras on the basis of whether they can claw back the CRA money out of the Children's Trust. They should be saying yes to the cameras because it's a law enforcement function, keeping people safe, almost as if they're saying, well, if we didn't have the Escambia Children's Trust in place, we wouldn't be able to afford these cameras. I'm like, that's nonsense. That was the part that I didn't agree with, and I still don't agree with the decision to fund it this way. But I wanted to ask you, because they make it sound like,
well,
I just wanted to give you a chance to address it.
Yeah, my day is filled with trying to find ways to protect our community, and trying to find ways to protect our children is certainly a top priority. And so, yes, when there was a vote to provide money, in this case, it was $400,000+. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more money involved in this, but the portion that, as my understanding, was going to the cameras was $400,000+. And so I did make a phone call and I said, hey, this could really be beneficial for us if this is the vote. If the vote's for providing cameras to protect children, then you guys please vote for this.
Figure
and
out a way
get
to
us
do
these
it.
Cameras.
Okay. All right,
again, I did specifically ask, but I would like it to come from the Children's Trust, because really I had not been involved in the nuances of the CRA versus Children's Trust versus clawback. I wasn't
gotcha.
Involved in all that. But I did call the commissioners. Three of the commissioners, and I told them my opinion on whether we can make use of this money, and I to their credit, they voted to fund the cameras. Where the money came from, how it came from, that's up to them.
Pivoting slightly,
mm-hmm.
Apparently there's a risk that if you go to the Waffle House and you don't give somebody the money they ask for when you're outside the Waffle House waiting for your order, they'll shoot you in the buttocks.
Yeah, you know. It's obviously not funny, but
it's only funny when I do it in that voice.
When you use the buttocks part, because
right.
I don't use the word buttocks.
Clearly, never.
Yeah, when I tell the story, it's a guy got shot in the butt, but
gotcha.
Apparently a buttocks is.
Well, the Forrest Gump version is better, yeah. But anyway, go on.
Well, anyways, that's what happened. We had an incident at a local Waffle House on Brent Lane where A guy was walking in there, and the guy asked him for, I think he asked him for a cigarette, and he gave him a cigarette. He walks back, the victim walks into the Waffle House, orders, comes back outside to wait for the order, I suppose. The guy approaches him again, asks him for, I think, a dollar this time. The guy says no, pulls out a gun and starts chasing him and shoots him in the backside. And then he starts chasing another person around the Waffle House. And as you could imagine, we found drugs in this area. There was small bags of what
no
we
great
think
mystery
is,
here.
Methamphetamine. Yeah.
All right.
It's just crazy. You know, I would hate for people to disrupt my Waffle House.
You know, I live not that far away from there. I shop at that grocery outlet. I often see a deputy. Do you guys have a deputy there all the time? Is that an off-duty?
At Waffle House?
And not, in that vicinity, by the grocery outlet, the Waffle House, like that, the Burger King, all that area.
If they employ one off-duty,
okay,
or you know, extra duty, then there's one there. But we don't
not
just
routinely
assign one right
okay.
in that spot.
I got you.
It's part of a normal routine patrol.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. We're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons. That's Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Hang on for just a second. Sheriff John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now, but we are seeing some delays if you're headed from Pace into Pensacola via Highway 90. Just expect that. I'm John Biggins with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. You guys have executed a few search warrants, closed down some more drug houses. Is that right?
Yeah, we served three more search warrants. You know, the numbers were getting a little bit high. I think we're at 38, 39, even 40 drug houses that we have at least temporarily shut down. In this particular case, we arrested a guy named Kid Witherspoon, who has an extensive history, as I understand it. Arrested him for trafficking in cocaine. Again, there's possession of cocaine, there's possession with intent, which is more, mm-hmm. and then trafficking, which is the higher level, obviously, that wrecks our community. So we arrested him. We also arrested Antoine McPherson for possession of a firearm by convicted felon. We got about over 100 grams of cocaine, looks like a hydrocodone, which I think is Lortab, marijuana, spice, and about over $40,000 in cash. So our guys just keep on, you know, kicking doors, keep on getting search warrants, and keep on cleaning our communities.
Good. more and more. Were you guys involved in this pit maneuver on Highway 29 that caused a rollover crash? I think it was an Atmore guy named Derek Coleman was the suspect, but maybe FHP did the pit. What happened here?
Yeah, well, we all got the call. There was a guy that was suspected DUI, and it was driving erratically, and at one point was even driving into oncoming traffic. We were trying to find an area where we could stop the car some way. Because it was clearly a danger, and FHP, who was with us at the time, they went up there and they went ahead and pitted him, and I guess it was a little rollover, but there was no injuries. I think that's important here. We talk about pitting cars and stopping cars, and I talk about stopping cars for stolen cars because we know the connection between drive-by shootings, and
right.
obviously we would do the same thing for homicides, as I mentioned earlier. But there's also this one caveat where if the danger to the public is greater to let them go. You know, if you're so drunk, you can't, you drive in oncoming traffic or you're a danger to yourself or someone else, whether it's potential DUI, whether it is a medical condition, then we can use, vehicle force to stop that car. Usually it's, someone's incoherent, we can get in front of them and slow down and then they snap out of it. But in this case, the trooper decided it was a good time to pit the car and it worked out pretty well.
Gotcha. You guys are in the middle of Blazer Academy. You got week three tonight. Is that right?
Yeah. Week
three. This is the men's, right?
This is the young men's Blazer Academy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
This is week three. We'll
14
talk,
and 15,
13, 14 and 15.
Okay.
Years. Yeah. And we're pretty good with that. With getting the people to get into the class, it usually fills up in a couple of hours. So, we tell people we're going to have two or three of these a year with young men and one or two with the females. Blazer Academies, but it works out very well. And this is a great class. I think it puts a smile on your face. I know it puts a smile on my face whenever you call them up there and you have a discussion about what's going on in their lives and what their future holds and what part they're going to play in our community. We don't push them one way or the other. We just want them to know that they're important and that they can make something of their life. And we want to talk about that. And sometimes that's difficult. I know a 13-year-old Chip Simmons probably wasn't willing to talk too much about his goals because he probably had very few,
right.
except for the football,
right.
The weekends. And
make the touchdown
and
beat the cheerleader.
Yeah, yeah, let's let's be a kid.
Yeah, right.
Let's not think about that. But I think that it's important to talk to these kids about things that could jeopardize those futures. And that's why it's so important for us.
So as you're talking about this, maybe I made this connection before, maybe I never did, but The fatherhood crisis or absence of fatherhoods, you know, is definitely one of the major problems that we've got. And I just don't know the candidates for Blazer Academy, or maybe you just kind of paint a broad picture. It seems like your officers are often being the father figure that maybe a lot of these kids don't or didn't have. Is that an accurate perception of why this is important, or is that not always true?
Well, I mean, I think that we need to understand that every moment can be a mentorship moment. Every, even a slight phrase, something that you do, even a smile, quite frankly, can give someone that hope.
Yeah.
That they need. So I tell people a lot that our moments are their memories. So if we take a moment with somebody, then they can remember that, and maybe they can remember that through their young adulthood life, and maybe even as you know, when they get older, like you and I. Mm. I put us in the same category.
I like that. All right. Hey, I did want to ask you, because we've kind of been talking about it this morning, the Tyreek Hill video out of Miami. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch it. John and I have been opining about it a little bit. In my opinion, the officer's basic failure was he didn't de-escalate when he could have, and he did escalate when he didn't need to. Tyreek Hill was a little bit rude. He was a little, I won't say non-compliant, but he was just, you know, he was curt. And to me, that doesn't justify getting thrown on the pavement and handcuffed for 20 minutes. But did you watch it? Did you have a thought? I always wanted to defer to law enforcement.
I watched
view.
Parts of it, yes.
Okay.
I'm glad that wasn't my employee. I'm not a fan of the aggression that mm-hmm. they took, not just the Tyreek Hill, but as I understand, another guy pulled up and he just, oh, I can't park here, you can't do this and that. Dude, calm down.
Yeah. Instantly, give me your license. Who are you? What are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and you know what's going on. It's a traffic stop, for heaven's sake. Now, I do understand that, you know, you need to obey. You know, don't roll your window up and refuse to talk to the deputy or the police officer, whatever got. Now, I didn't see the beginning of it. I don't know how fast it was going. I'm not sure how the initial encounter went, whether he rolled the window up when the deputy. You know, sometimes they'll give you a license and then roll the window up.
That's what happened.
Conditioning purpose or whatever. And then when you get there, you do knock on the window. I don't think that's a concern. I don't. You know, you can do that. And then just roll the window down, Tyreek. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you ain't more special than other people. But I will tell you that I would not be pleased if that was the behavior of our deputies.
Okay, and that's what I had thought based on all the conversations we've had. And but I always like to ask to be sure that my intuitions are right about something like this. Last thing is there's a scam going around, and by accounts a fairly sophisticated and clever one that real people are falling for.
Yeah, we you know, there's always a scam going around. They always use a name that they think that people would recognize. They mm-hmm. use my name or one of my chief's names or something, and then they'll talk about you. You have a warrant for you. Typically, you have a warrant for you. In this case, they use some, as I understand it, public records on some PPP loans from COVID era. Mm-hmm. Apparently, some of those have become public record, and so people can look up. People that are devious can look up and see, hey, Andrew McKay got a loan, and this is the loan number. I think they got some details on that. So
okay,
when I call
sure.
you up and say, hey, Andrew, you got a warrant for you based on this PPP loan, this is your number, you know that is the number. So you're thinking this must be legit. Now, the problem is, oh, we need you to put this many thousands of dollars into a kiosk at this little, you know, this ATM somewhere, mm-hmm. and then you have to do it again, and then we won't get this bench warrant or we won't get this subpoena for you. That's what we put it out yesterday, just to remind people, we're not going to ask you. The Marshal Service is not going to ask you. The court system is not going to ask you to go get money and put it into a Bitcoin machine. We're not going to do that. Please, please call us first. If you think it's a scam, it probably is a scam. Even if they have your information, even if they have an information about who your relatives are, even if they had your cell phone number, mm-hmm. it is a scam. Do not fall for this.
And that's always the challenge, right? It's not the what you do once you think, could this be a scam? It's remembering to put that trigger in place to say, could this be a scam? Because once you think that, and then you start, well, what can I do? But the problem is that between fear and anxiety and the appearance of knowledge and information and authority, people never think to ask the question. And that's what a con man does, right?
And they're ready for those questions. It's
right.
Well, how come I have to go into this particular area? Well, sir, this is our bond ATM.
Yeah.
And the people that usually have bonds don't live downtown. You know, it's just, they always have some sort answer that you say, oh, okay, I got it. Which means that people ask questions. They're a little leery of it to begin with. And they'll try to keep you on the phone also. They do not want you to hang up and then call someone to verify this is correct. So they'll tell you, because you have a warrant, you need to stay on the phone with me. This has happened. I've talked to a couple of people over the last couple of months, and they've all said that they have kept you on the phone, and you cannot hang up the phone because the warrant will be activated. You know, last chance and that sort of thing. So right. I just want to make sure that everyone understands and spread the word, please.
Yeah, and I think the mayor might have been talking about this a little bit yesterday. I didn't understand the context of his comments, but it sounds like through contractor competency hearings or something, or contractor contracts, they'd been doing the same kind of thing. So, no, that's a – wow, that's pretty sophisticated. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for the time. Thanks for keeping us informed. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
755 News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still seeing some slowdowns on Highway 90 as you're coming into Pensacola. So just be aware of that. Maybe a 5-10 minute delay. Also seeing slowdowns over on I-10 eastbound as you go from Pine Forest all the way to Highway 29 and pass through the construction zone. You'll see some delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wave Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope. From the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to wavemenshealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. Wavemenshealth.com. Book your appointment now.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed. The ability to destroy a planet is insignificant next to the power of the Force.
James Earl Jones passes away at the age of 93. Mufasa, King Joffrey Jaffer, Darth Vader, the voices of, and so many others, from Field of Dreams to The Sandlot to Conan the Barbarian. David Wayne, do you have a quick headline for us, sir?
Well, lawmakers on Capitol Hill are going to get testimony from former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo related to their handling of COVID-19 today.